Everyone, good morning. Good morning. I want to welcome you once again to Toronto City Church and to our online worship experience. We are so honored. I mean, you literally could be millions of places right now online, all the different options that are out there. You've chosen to be with us. We're thankful for that. And obviously, as church family, it's really great for us to connect and for us to gather together and to keep pressing forward. I am so excited about getting together personally and just the things that are developing there. But I am still very thankful for this opportunity we have to connect. And remember, when we're doing this online, what's amazing is we literally can reach around the world. And God has said to us very clearly, do not despise small beginnings, because there is this call to touch nations. And one of the key ways we'll touch nations is through what we're doing right here. And so you're part of that. And we're building something. And Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, today I am completing our series and completing the series of About My Father's Business. Come on, wherever you are right now, I just want you to say, I'm about my Father's business. And so before I jump into the content for today, I just want to encourage you really quickly in what we have coming up this week. Because this week, as you know, is Holy Week, leading up to Easter, leading up to Good Friday, and to Resurrection Sunday. And so Holy Week has really been something that the church has observed for hundreds of years, where they take the week leading up to Easter to put a particular focus, again, on Jesus, to put a particular focus on what he's done, and to really focus in. Because, you know, I don't know for you, but life can just be so busy. There can be so many things going around. And we can, you know, without even meaning to, just start treating Easter like a long weekend. Instead of remembering the significance and the holiness of what we're celebrating and just the reverence that we need to have. And so one of the things that we're doing as a church family, as you know, we've been doing TCC We Pray. We've been doing weeks of prayer and fasting. And so it's just lined up really well this year, because first week of, really leading to the first week of April, is what we're doing here. And so we're going to be taking time this week once again for fasting, for prayer, for seeking God. And I really want to encourage you, jump on board and be involved. Now, I'm sure most of you probably got emails, you've got different things about this already. But again, I just want to encourage you in getting involved. Pick a day to fast. You know, even this week, maybe stretch it into a couple days of fasting as it's Holy Week and remembering Jesus. Get involved in the prayer calls that we're doing. We're doing daily prayer calls. There's video devotionals that you can be part of. But we want to really just, you know, this week put that extra element, that extra focus on Jesus. And in doing that, I mean, I want to remind you, there's coming to Easter, and then 50 days after that, we have Pentecost. But the church was not birthed. The church was not birthed in a strategic planning meeting. The church was not birthed in a fundraising meeting. The church was not birthed even in an evangelistic meeting. The church was birthed in the book of Acts in a prayer meeting. The church was birthed in the upper room. And God is calling us more and more to an upper room reality, where our number one priority is ministering to the Lord, and our number one priority is seeking Him and praying and going after His presence. And it's not glamorous. It's not like all these, you know, just incredible things happening all the time. Most of the time, it's just faithfulness and just being there. But things are happening. So get involved this week. Get plugged in. I mean, I've been loving, I've been really digging into Luke 18:7-8. It says, don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all His chosen ones who cry out to Him night and day? He will pour out His Spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice if you don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, just like the widow was with the judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will He find this kind of persistent faithfulness in His people? This is what we're doing. Luke 18, we're pressing in prayer. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on expecting. We're leaning in for what God's doing. And we're believing for just an amazing Easter weekend. So make sure you check our information as well, so you know everything that's happening for Easter, all that we're doing. Watch the announcements. Stay tuned in online. We're really excited for it. We're excited to do it. So, back to our Father's business and our closing session. Last week, Pastor Jair brought a great word and did a really good job just sharing more about our house and his house and all the things around that. And I want to go back to our core text, Luke 2:49, and it says, and He said to them, why do you seek Me? Did you not know that I must be about My Father's business? So it's interesting, because in the original language, being about My Father's business is a very fair translation. It also could say, do you not know it'd be about My Father's house? Why? Because the building of God's house, not just physically, but through people, is a major portion of God's business. And furthermore, it could also just him say, do you know I'd not be about my Father? Why? Because again, it's very intertwined. If we're going to be about our Father's business, that means we're about our Father. And if we're about our Father, we're going to be about our Father's business. And so again, the point of this month has really been encouraging us, even as we've reached come through a one-year anniversary of COVID and all the shutdown and all the things went on in the middle, to not stay in survival mode, but that the Holy Spirit will just kind of zero in on any area of our lives where we're in a survival mode, and the Holy Spirit will raise us up to say, no, we're going to run forward in the kingdom. We're going to move forward with even greater focus into what God has called us to. And so today I want to talk to you about a topic that I have talked to you about before. I've preached about it many times. I'm going to talk to you about it many times going forward. You're going to hear this from me for as long as I'm preaching. This is a topic that I'm very passionate about, that you're going to hear about. But I want to talk to you today about encouraging you in your purpose and your calling. I want to talk to you and encourage you, even as we're talking about, okay, not going into survival mode. We're talking about rising up into the things that God has for us, being about our Father's business. I want to talk to you about the calling and the purpose of God over your life. And I want to encourage you, even as we finish off this series, to run in purpose, to run in calling, to run with what God has for you. We are going to rise up, we're going to rise, and we're going to shine, and we're going to go through this together. You know, as you look at the life of a believer, I believe that there are several key milestones for every single one. A very first and important milestone is when we encounter Jesus and we make him our Lord and Savior. That's something we all need to walk through. A second milestone that I believe is so important, not everyone understands or is able to walk in this one. God wants everyone to, but it's encountering the Father's love. Right? So when we encounter Jesus, we're born again and we come into the kingdom. But then secondly, we encounter the Father's love. And we really encounter this revelation of God as Father. And when you do that, it changes you. It shifts something inside of you so deep and so important when you encounter the Father's love. Furthermore, there's this milestone of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we believe here at Toronto City Church in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues as a separate, distinct experience to salvation. So we see this, that every believer, there's an encounter of Jesus, and you make him your Lord and Savior. And then there's this place to encounter God the Father's love, and that does something deep inside of us, and we become rooted and grounded in love, and this is a lifelong journey in our walk with him. But then there's also this encounter of the Spirit, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and the gifts of the Spirit that begin to manifest. All these things are very key and very important for us as believers. But I want to talk to you today about another milestone, which I've previously referenced, but there is a milestone as well when we come to understand in a greater degree God's plan and God's purpose for our life. Now, I know that God's plan and purpose is multifaceted, and it shifts from season to season. It's not something that could be defined in one line or one sentence. And so, just like everything else, there is an ongoing revelation of this. But there is a place that God wants every one of us to walk into as believers, where we, whether it's a powerful encounter or just something that's very simple and that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, but we come to understand his calling and his purpose for us. Have you had that encounter with the Lord? Have you walked to that place where you know that he has called you? You understand, one of the words that is used scripturally for this is your vocation, which is a calling. It's what he's called you to do, right? You come to understand, this is what the Lord is asking me to do. This is my kingdom assignment. See, this is when we begin to really, truly engage in the Father's business, right? Because in one degree, being born again, receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's so good, it's so important, but that's very much about us. And furthermore, when we receive the Father's love, so good, so important, I'm not taking away from it all, but that's about us. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's about us. Now, we know that baptism leads us to have boldness and power to be witnesses. It starts to expand to others. The gifts of the Spirit expands to others. But it still is very much, in many ways, an experience, something that's happening to us. But where God wants to take us, the problem is many believers, they get stuck there. Their Christianity revolves around What is there for me? What is God doing for me? What am I going to receive? What are my blessings? And again, all these things are not bad. They're good. They're important. They're healthy. But God wants to bring us to a place where not only have we received these things, but he says, listen, Brendan, this is why I saved you. Right? This is why I brought you in. I want you to understand more of your purpose. I want you to understand more of your calling. I want you to understand why, and I want to invite you into the Father's business. Right? You may have come into the Father's house, but have you started to walk in your Father's business? Because there's a difference between being welcomed into the Father's house and engaging in the Father's business. And many believers have been welcomed into Father God's house, and they have a place in the house, they have a seat at the table, but because of lack of understanding or lack of maturity or a plethora of other reasons that could come in, they've never truly started to engage in the Father's business. Right? You live in the Father's house, but you come out from the Father's house with all that he's blessed you with all that he's given you, knowing your place in the family, but then you go out to the world about the Father's business. God did not bring you into the Father's house so you could hide out in the Father's house until you die and go to heaven. No, he's brought you into the Father's house so that you can sit at his table, so that you can get to know God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. You can be part of a family, but then together you engage in the family business. You get about the Father's business. Now, today, if you are a Christian, you've been welcomed into the Father's house, but my question for you, my question for me is, are you participating and are you being part of your Father's business? Right? Because Jesus had an understanding. I need to be about my Father's business. He was in the Father's house discussing the scriptures, but there was an element that he also understood he was being prepared for the Father's business. How are you with the Father's business? You know, Acts 13:36, one of my favorite scriptures. If you've heard me preach for any amount of time, you've heard me preach this scripture. It says, "For David, after he'd served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption." The part I want you to focus on is David after he served the purpose of God in his own generation. I want you to know today, as a son or daughter of God, if you've given your life to Jesus, and if you haven't, today is your day and you can give your life to Jesus. But if you've given your life to Jesus, you are a son or daughter of God. There is great purpose that is over your life. God did not save you just so you could take up space in a pew and listen to me preach or sit online and listen to me preach for the rest of your life. I'm thankful you come take a seat. I'm thankful that you watch online, but I want you to know that there's more. God created you with purpose. God created you with destiny. God created you with a calling. Before God even formed you, he said he knew you, and he said that he had called you. He didn't create you and then try and decide a calling for you because, well, I got to give them something. No, he designed a calling, and then he created you for that calling. Even if your parents didn't mean to have you, even if the circumstances around your life, God knew you, God called you, God purposed that you would be here. There is no one that is a mistake. There is no one that had accident, but you have purpose over your life. Come on, somebody say, I have purpose, right? And so each one of us has purpose over our life, and we're called to that. We are born for more. Come on, family. You were born for more than to be born, to grow up, to go to school so you could get a job, so you could get money, so you could afford to get married, so you could buy a house, have a couple kids, have a dog, retire, and then die. There is more that God has placed inside of you. There is more that God has created for. There is more that he has released inside of you. You have a purpose. But as we see with this passage in Acts 13:36, David still had to choose to serve the purposes of God. We always have a choice. And in the same way, there's great purpose over your life, but you have to choose to serve that purpose in your generation. You need to choose to walk it out. Come on, somebody say, walk it out. See, I want you to understand your calling in life. You know, here's the way. I'll say there was an old school mindset and mentality that in the kingdom there were two classes of people. First, there were people who were called by God. And somewhere along the way, God called them. They had an experience with God. And because God called them, they were called to the ministry. And that meant you went to Bible school and you became a pastor. And those were the people who were called. And then there was everybody else. And everybody else didn't have a call to the ministry. But everybody else's job was to come and listen to those who were called to the ministry and give some money in the offering plate. And maybe every once in a while do something for the kingdom of God. Work a secular job. Come to church. Give your tithes. But if you're really called, give it all up and go to Bible school and become a pastor. This perspective, although it was very well intentioned by many people had it, they didn't mean to, it was just kind of the common perspective, could not be further from the heart of God for every one of us. Why do I say this? Because this perspective did so much damage in creating two classes of people in the kingdom. There are not two classes of people in the kingdom. There are one. They're sons and daughters of God. And every son and every daughter of God has a calling. Every son and every daughter of God is called with a purpose. Every son and every daughter of God, regardless of where they work, regardless of their education, regardless of their talents and abilities, has a calling to the ministry. Every one of us are called to our Father's business. Not just the pastor, not just the evangelist, not just the prophet or the teacher or the really spiritual intercessor. Every one of us, if you're a son or a daughter, are you a son or a daughter? Are you a son of God, a daughter of God? You've given your life to Christ. You become adopted in the family. Then you are called to be part of the Father's business. There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom. All of us are sons and daughters, and all of us are welcome to be in the Father's house, but then to go out and be a part of the Father's business. It's interesting. Mark 16:15 says this. This is the Great Commission. It says, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Right? Now, this was his command to pastors, to evangelists, to a select group of people who work in churches? No, this was his command to every believer. Every believer is called to go into all the world. Now, it's interesting. If you look up the word world there in the original Greek language, it's the Greek word cosmos. And if you study cosmos, it does not just refer to the physical earth, like go all around the earth, even though it covers that. But it literally speaks to the worlds within the world. It speaks to the spheres of influence. Let me explain to what I mean. There is a business world. There is a arts and entertainment world. There is a scientific and academic world. There is a youth culture world. We could go on and on. And if you understand what I mean, there's worlds where there's cultures, there's values, there's a certain language they speak, there's certain strengths, there's certain weaknesses. I mean, I realize now as I get older, my son will come home with slang or different phrases, and I have no idea what he's talking about. And part of it bothers me because I used to be pretty down with youth culture. I was a youth pastor. I was pastoring an adult church. I knew the phrases. I knew the sayings. Now I'm completely out of touch. Furthermore, if I try to use them, I get that look from my kids. I've now moved into the season of life where I get that look from the kids saying, Dad, please don't ever say that again. You will embarrass us incredibly. Right? But see, there's a whole world there. And see, Jesus said, in essence, with this Great Commission, he was saying go into all the world, but he was also saying go into every world. Now, what's my point? How does this tie to calling? How does this tie to our Father's business? Because this is what it is, guys. Every one of us has a world, or maybe worlds, that we are called to. And there are worlds that you are called to, that you are equipped for, that God has designed you to be a kingdom representative, to be an ambassador for Christ, to be a representative of who he is, that you are equipped for, that you are prepared for. There are people that you can reach that I will never reach. There are people that will listen to you that would never listen to me. There are people that you understand how they think and how they talk and how they walk because God has called you to that world. And you can go into that world and you can make an impact and a difference for the kingdom of God. You have a purpose. You have a calling. There are no two classes of citizen in the kingdom. Every one of us have been called. Every one of us are called to the ministry. Come on, we used to say that phrase, are you called to the ministry? That usually meant you were called to be a pastor or a preacher or something. No, I want to spread that out because what does ministry mean? Ministry means to serve. Are you telling me that only a few people are called to serve? No, every one of us are called to serve. Every one of us have a world that we're called into. We have purpose. We need to be about our Father's business. Everyone. Come on, somebody say everyone. Let's look at another passage that talks about this. Ephesians 4:11-12. And it says, and he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, again, under this old school mindset, right, this wrong perspective of what it used to be, here's what a lot of people thought. This is the way they read this passage. And he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to do the work of the ministry. Right? You're called to the ministry. You are called to do the work of the ministry. Here's the problem, guys. That's not what the Bible said. And again, please hear me. I'm not trying to be unnecessarily critical. I've struggled with this mindset. There were very good intentioned people who struggled with this mindset. And it was powerful to have that calling into, you know, the ministry and all those things. So I'm not trying to kind of hammer away at all that. But what I am trying to hammer away at is this perspective that makes a lot of people feel like they don't have a calling or they don't have a ministry, right? Because the Bible didn't say the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, shepherds, and teachers are going to do the work of the ministry. It said that they are going to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Who are the saints? Well, saints means holy ones. We are all saints. You are a saint. I am a saint. Now, I know if we come from different, maybe traditional backgrounds, that kind of throws us off. We're saints. But according to the Bible, we've been set apart by him. We're holy. We are saints. And so the job of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, shepherd, and the teacher is not to do the work of the ministry. It's to equip the believer, to equip the saint to do the work of the ministry. In other words, my calling, a big part of my calling is to equip you to live in your calling. A big part of my purpose with what God's asked me to do is to equip you to live out your purpose. Come on, somebody, wherever you are right now, say, I am called to the ministry. Come on, say it again. I am called to the ministry. Maybe you're sitting around with somebody in your social bubble right now. Look at them and tell them, you are called to the ministry. Why? Because ministry is serving. Ministry is doing the will of God. You are called to your Father's business. If God's your Father, he's running a family business that he wants everyone in his family to be part of. You are called to the family business. Come on, somebody say, I'm about my Father's business. So let's just track this to this point. We've talked about recognizing that every single one of us have a purpose and calling. There are not two classes of citizens in the kingdom, those who are called and those who are not. We are all called to the ministry. We are all called to the pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles, all these, their job is to equip you for the same, for the work of ministry. That's why here at Toronto City Church, like, we want to build a church. Like, I want it to be fun and I want it to be enjoyable. I want it to be, but we're not here primarily for your comfort. We're here for your calling. We're here to cause you to rise up in everything God's called you to be. That's why I get so excited when a member of our church family emails me or texts me or just pulls me aside and says, hey, pastor, this is what I'm stepping out to. This is what God's doing. I'm starting a business or I'm starting this initiative outreach. I'm doing this. I get so excited because I am so passionate about seeing you being equipped to do everything God has called you to do. So if we're called to the ministry, come on, somebody say, I'm called to the ministry. One last thought here. What does that look like? What does it look like if we're called to the ministry? Well, let me explain to you four elements of our ministry. I actually want you to use this as a picture. If I was to pull, I don't have it accessible right now, but if I was to pull a chair up here, and you know, you have a chair, a good chair has four legs. And those four legs are very important for that chair to be balanced, for that chair to be level, and for you to be able to sit on that chair. How many know if you removed one of those legs, that chair, you might be able to sit on it and hold it up, but it's not going to function the way it was supposed to sit? How many know if you remove two of those legs, you're really not going to be able to sit on that chair at all? If you remove three of those legs, you don't got a chair. You just got a leg, right? And so we've got to make sure. So I want to talk to you about the four legs of your calling, your purpose. Number one, we are called. Everybody say number one. Number one, we are called to minister to the Lord. That is our first place of ministry for every single one of us. We're called to minister to the Lord in worship. We're called to minister to the Lord in prayer. We're called to minister to the Lord in our giving, in our tithes, and our offerings. I believe there's a reality here that is coming back to the church in a greater dimension, but it's the priestly call on every believer that, yes, we're called to minister to people, but we're first called to minister to the Lord. Because when you try to minister to people without ministering to the Lord, you end up doing it your own strength. And you only get so far, and you burn out, and you face all kinds of challenges. But when you learn to minister to the Lord first, and you learn to minister to Him, and you have that ministry to Him that's strong, then it's going to flow out in ministry to people. That's why as a church, we're really leaning in for the tabernacle of David. We're leaning in to be a house of prayer for all nations. We're having these times of prayer and all these things. Even this coming week, again, another week of prayer. Why? Because our call, first and foremost, is to minister to the Lord. Right? So someone says, I want to know my purpose. I want to know my calling. Well, the first level is ministry to the Lord. You can start there. Sometimes people get frustrated with these messages. Like, I don't know what I'm called to do. Listen, start with ministering to Him. If you don't know anything else, begin by ministering to the Lord. As you minister to Him, everything else will come into alignment. So that's number one. Let's talk about number two. Now are we called to minister to the Lord? Because we're all called to the ministry. But number two, we are called to minister to our family. We are called to minister to our family. There is a holy calling to be a husband or a wife, to be a son or a daughter, to be a brother or sister, to be a mother or a father. These are holy callings. And I say them all specifically because whatever season you're in, you're still in family. And you are called to minister to your family. And what happens is many times when we talk about calling or purpose in the kingdom, we miss this element of ministry to our family. How many times have you seen people who've gone and tried to do all these things for God, but their family ends up falling apart because they're not first ministering to your family? You want to reach people? Make sure you're reaching your family. You want to serve people? Make sure you're serving your family. Husbands, wives, you should not be serving all these other people, but then not serving your spouse. Children with parents, parents with children, brothers with sisters, whatever it is, understand that there is a holy calling to minister to your family. So watch this now. We're building the chair. So we minister to the Lord. Now, guys, you can just do that. Because sometimes, again, people listen to these messages. They're like, I just don't know what I'm called to do. You're called to minister to the Lord. Do that. You're called to minister to your family. Do that. That's right there in front of you. We're now starting to get this chair built. Number three, we are called to minister to the people around us. Right? So this is now the high priest calling. We minister to God on behalf of people, and then we go and we minister to people on behalf of God. This speaks to winning souls, evangelism. This speaks to making disciples. This speaks to praying for people. This speaks to helping people and serving people. We are called to serve people. We are called to love people. It's interesting. I don't want to go too far down this path because I do need to land this message. But it's interesting because if you want to understand more about calling, dive into serving, because Jesus said the kingdom is about serving. And as long as we're looking for someone to serve me, someone to do something for me, something to give something to me, we're often going to miss so much of our calling because our calling is going to be wrapped up and found in serving. And sometimes you just get out there and serve people. Share the gospel with somebody. Pray for somebody. Get plugged in at church and just find a way to serve. Look for ways to serve people. This is now the third leg on our chair of calling that we're building. We're going to minister to God because we're all called to the ministry. We're going to minister to our families. Number three, we are going to minister to people. And this brings us to number four. And number four, we are called to minister in the marketplace as we work unto the Lord. Now, this is a huge part, and this is often the part of the chair that people will miss when they understand their calling. So I'm going to minister to the Lord. I'm going to minister to my family. I'm going to minister to people every chance I get. But we don't understand, and it's often just because we haven't been taught this way, we don't understand that our work is also worship. If you actually do a biblical study, the word for work and worship in the Hebrew are very similar, intertwined. And when we do something as unto the Lord, when we get out into our workplace, there is actually worship in that. See, part of, again, we go back to an old school mindset that would see the sacred and the secular. And it would say, oh, if you have a secular job, you're out in the secular marketplace. Well, really, if God calls you, you leave that. You go, no, we need called people in the church. We also need called people in the marketplace. Lord knows we need called people in the marketplace. 97% of Christians are never going to work in a church anyway. So why would we tell them that they don't have calling or purpose? I know we didn't mean to, but it's just the way things went. No, you need to understand that your work is worship. And your work is there. And so you start to understand, okay, what has God called me to put my hands to? Let me say it a different way. What has God called me to build? What has God called me to build? And this is a process He takes you on. You start at the you start at the bottom. You start being faithful with little. You start with where God's called you, but you're seeking God. Why? Because He has purpose in your work. He has purpose for you in the marketplace. And really what happens is so often your vocation is ministering to the Lord, ministering to family, ministering to people. But then your vocation also becomes, I'm worshiping God through my work. And in my work, my location becomes the place for the manifestation of my vocation and the location of where He's called me. But see, you start to get this and understand this, guys. All of a sudden, you've got this chair of purpose and calling. You're ministering to the Lord. You're ministering to your family, which is a high calling. Don't ever lose sight of that. You're ministering to people and winning souls to make disciples, but you're also ministering through work as worship, and you are doing everything as unto the Lord. And see, when you get this, this gives you a foundation to start living out your purpose and calling. Again, there's so much to the purpose and calling of God over our lives that will unfold throughout our entire life. So I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but what I'm saying is if you commit yourself to these four key things, and wherever you are right now, if you hate your job, listen, stop complaining about, stop talking about how bad it is, how terrible it is. No, listen, start saying, God, I want to do work as worship to you. I want to glorify you, and I'm going to make a difference here where I am, and I'm trusting you that you're going to open doors and you're going to promote me. God called you to start a business. Understand, that's worship to God. That is worship to Him. It's not even just, well, I'm going to make money so I can give more. Yes, that's part of it. But even more than that, you are advancing the kingdom. You are moving forward with the kingdom of God. Catch this perspective and catch this heart. God has called you to minister. Come on, somebody say, God's called me to minister. And see, what I've found in my life and what I've found for most Christians is they have a hard time getting all four of these things in place. They get good at one or two of them, or they really get focused at one or two of them, but they don't. So you'll get people, and they're really good at ministering to the Lord, but they have no idea that their work is worship, and I'm called to build something for the kingdom of God. And you tend to have this tension that goes back and forth. So you have people that, they get kind of too focused on money or mammon or stuff, and so they say, oh, no, I just need to forget all this and go minister to God. But no, part of your purpose is work being worship. But then you'll have other people, and they totally disconnect from worship and prayer and serving God because, like, well, I need to be about my calling. I need to get out and build my business. I need to get out and do my thing. I'm going to take care of me right now. Listen, God never asked you to not do your thing. God never asked you to not take care of you. He just said, listen, minister to me, minister to your family, minister to people, and then embrace your work as worship. Do you see how, and I could go on and on in different ways, we waver or go back and forth between these. And God says, no, I want you to have all four in place. And so just as I bring this to a close today, I want to encourage you in this. God is looking for sons and daughters who've come into His house who are going to join Him in His business. And part of this business, part of this calling, is being one who ministers to the Lord, one who ministers to their family, one who ministers to others, and one who sees their work as worship unto God. And I want to pray in closing for every single one of you today. And I want to pray, even as we finish off this series about our Father's business, as we get ready for Holy Week and we get ready for this time of prayer and fasting, we also get ready for Easter, that each one of us will rise up in a place. Guys, come on, I know it's been a challenging year. I know it's been a challenging 12-month stretch. I know, again, maybe for many of us in the natural, we're tired and we're weary. But in the name of Jesus, once again, I just want to call you to rise up. You'll remember that word that I shared at the start of this series. God says you have grown more in this past season than you realize. God says, I want to trust you with more. And God says, get ready for it. Get ready for it. And I want to say in the name of Jesus, get ready to walk in your calling in a new way. Get ready to walk in your purpose in a new way. It's time to rise up in a new dimension of ministering to the Lord. It's time to rise up in a new dimension of ministering to your family. It's time to rise up in a new dimension of ministering to people around us. And it's time to rise up in a new dimension to see work as worship and to worship and honor God even through what we do in our 9-to-5. Jesus was not meant to be confined to Sunday on the weekend. Jesus was meant to be part of all of our life. And He was meant to invade. He wants us to invade the 9-to-5 window with men and women of God who minister to the Lord, who minister to their family, who minister to people, but then are also working as worship in Jesus' name. God has so much. Get ready, guys. Let's rise up together and let's be part of what He is doing in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed with me today, if you're with me, I want you to give me a huge amen. Amen. All right, let me pray for you right now. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity today we've had to talk about purpose, about calling. This opportunity we've had to talk about being in our Father's business. We're thankful to be in the Father's house, but we still want to be part of our Father's business. And so I pray for each one of us just for something to spark inside of us today to take us to a new level of ministering to you, of ministering to our family, of ministering to people around us. And also, whatever our 9-to-5 looks like, even if it's not 9-to-5, whatever it is, that we'd see it as worship and we'd see it as a place we're called to represent the kingdom and to share your love. And so, Lord, we thank you for this today. I speak life. I speak blessing over everyone. I just declare in Jesus' name out of Hebrews 12:12-13. So be made strong, even in your weakness, by lifting up your tired hands in prayer and worship, and strengthen your weak knees. For as you keep walking forward on God's path, all your stumbling ways will be divinely healed. I also declare over you in the name of Jesus, Isaiah 61:3, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and the king to the brightness of your rising. And so we speak this, we thank you for this, Lord, we declare it, and we receive it. Come on, if you're with me, just say, I believe, I receive. In Jesus' name, everyone agree with me, said, amen. All right, guys, come on, let's do this. Let's arise and shine. Let's move forward. Let's be about our Father's business. Well, hey, everyone. Before we go today, there's three things that I just want to make sure to mention to you or to bring your attention. First and foremost, I want to make sure that everyone watching this video, everyone watching what is this talk right now, is right with God. See, the Bible teaches us that God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love because of sin. Because of sin, we deserve divine punishment. Now, I'm not just pointing the finger at you. I'm talking about myself as well. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's standard. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Right? So that's the bad news. Here's the good news. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But then it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The good news is that even though we are separated from God because of sin, even though we deserved eternal death, God loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus came. He died. He lived. He died. He rose again. And he said, if you will turn your back on sin and you'll commit your life to me, I will fill you, I'll forgive you, I'll set you free, I'll set you on an amazing path to follow me in this life and also in the life to come. And so if you're watching today and you know you need to give your life to Jesus, or maybe you know you need to give your life back to Jesus, maybe you used to follow him but you fell away, if you're either one of those people, I want you to pray this prayer with me right from the heart. I want you to say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again. Today I turn my back on sin and I commit my life to you. Fill me. Forgive me. Set me free. I want to follow you. Thank you for saving me and bringing me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you prayed that prayer, I'm so glad you did. The Bible says that you are now saved. Now, I know that might sound too easy to some, but God said, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We just have to call out to him, and he's going to be right there for us, and he is for you. But if you prayed that prayer, we would love to be able to get you a Bible, to pray with you personally, to help and support you in this decision. So please, reach out, let us know. There's some things on the screen you can connect with or just send us an email, but we really want to just walk with you. We'd be honored to walk with you in this journey. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Well, that's the first thing. I'm so thankful for anyone who made that commitment today. The second thing that I want to mention is, as every week, the opportunity we have to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. So here at Toronto City Church, we believe in our Father's business. And we understand one of the ways we can be part of our Father's business is through bringing our tithes, our first 10%, bringing offerings as the Lord gives us, and giving into the church, giving into the kingdom, right? We want to be about his business. You know, it's interesting. I was watching a show recently, and they were talking about how, you know, these billionaires were feeling their call to give back to society. And I thought it was interesting because as Christians, yeah, we want to bless our society. But even beyond that, we want to give and we want to be a blessing to the kingdom. I mean, we want to bless and give to his kingdom and give to his purposes and give to his work. And so I really just want to encourage you today. Let's continue to sow into the kingdom. As you give, you are part of what God's doing here. We're just at the beginning. Even with these online services and experiences, we believe God wants to literally, these things go around the world. He wants us to create things that can touch people all over the world. And you get to be part of that even through your giving. So I just want to encourage you, let's stay faithful. Let's keep sowing into our Father's business. And if you haven't yet jumped on board with that, I want to encourage you and invite you, get on board. Like, jump in, get involved and get plugged in to being part of our Father's business, even through your tithes and your offerings. Amen. So let's pray over our giving today. I know we give all throughout the week now with online giving, but let's make this a point of faith and a point of contact in our giving. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you've welcomed us, not just to be in your Father's house, but to be part of the Father's business. And I pray in Jesus' name that each one of us will just grow in this. And even in our giving, I thank you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be part. I thank you that as we're faithful, you'll give us even more to give. God, and for those who maybe are struggling with this, that today there'll just be a peace and a confidence in their heart that, yeah, this is what I need to do. I need to take this step of faith and begin giving into the kingdom. Lord, we thank you that all our needs are met according to riches and glory, that we have more than enough to do everything you've called us to do. And we just agree for this, and we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. And everyone who agreed with me said, Amen.